The president was warned that if you go into Iraq and you put troops in the Middle East, American troops in the Middle East, you can try and paint it however you want, but there will be people that try and paint it differently. So now he's saying that the militants are being aided by elements in the Arab news media. Yeah, we knew that was going to happen. Maybe you weren't told, Mr. President. Maybe the cakewalk conversation didn't get around to the fact that they would use the media against us. Let's go on and listen to the president from today.
Some have also argued that extremism has been strengthened by the actions of our coalition in Iraq, claiming that our presence in that country has somehow caused or triggered the rage of radicals. I would remind them that we were not in Iraq on September the 11th, 2001. And Al-Qaeda attacked us anyway.
I'm going to pause. I don't know if that's an intentional misstatement of the issue and the argument against going into Iraq, or if it and therefore just a clever way to say it, or if he's really ignorant about this topic. I suspect Karl Rove understands it, and maybe Bush doesn't pay that much attention. I'm not sure. But he said, I would remind them we were not in Iraq on September the 11th, and Al-Qaeda attacked us anyway. I'd remind you that those who say that having 150,000 troops in the Middle East and who claim that our presence is triggering the rage, not of radicals, meaning not of Al-Qaeda and the people who are already against us, they can't get any more radical if they're willing to die to kill a few Americans. No matter what we do, it won't upset them anymore. What we want to be sensitive to is, what about the 1.2 billion Muslims around the world that we want to encourage to take back their religion and to fight terrorism? You know, it's not a simple thing when the terrorists move into your neighborhood with weapons and they threaten you and say, if you don't allow us to store our weapons here, we'll kill you. And if you tell the Americans, we'll kill you. You know, it's not that everybody's cooperating. It's that they don't see a good reason to stick their neck out for the coalition troops in many cases. So we send a certain message when we put 150,000 troops in the Middle East. And what Bush is saying is that the claim has no merit that our presence in the Middle East has somehow caused or triggered the rage of radicals. No, it isn't the rage of radicals. Radicals are radicals. It's the anger of rank and file in Iraq and the average Muslim around the world. And combined with Al Jazeera misrepresenting, admittedly, but we should have expected that. People predicted that would happen if we went in. Combined with Al Jazeera misrepresenting our cause and showing the worst side of America, we have most likely, no way to know this for sure, as Rummy said, we most likely have created more terrorists than we're able to kill on a daily basis. And so Bush has phrased this cleverly, but he's missing the criticism. The criticism is that by going in Iraq, you opened up a can of worms, you opened up a minefield that can come back to bite us. And he's saying, we were attacked by other people, by people on September 11th, and we weren't in Iraq, so how could it be any worse? There could be more people that are willing to kill Americans than there were before. That's how it could be worse, Mr. President.
The hatred of the radicals existed before Iraq was an issue. And it will exist after Iraq is no longer an excuse.
That's right. The radicals are not the issue. It's the hearts and minds of the average Muslim that we should be concerned about. We are never going to persuade the radicals. I assume that the president knows that Karen Hughes' democracy tour or her friendship America tour, whatever you want to call it, that she's not trying to persuade radicals. She's trying to persuade the average Muslim.
The government of Russia did not support Operation Iraqi Freedom. And yet militants killed more than 180 Russian school children in Beslan.
Well, talk about mixing your issues. The militants he's talking about are from the Chechen side of the Russian-Chechen war, And Russia has been laying waste to that country and brutally mowing down town after town in Chechnya. And so there's talk about an Al-Qaeda link with Chechnya, and I don't even care if there is, meaning I don't think it makes a difference to this argument. Putin has brutalized those people, and some of that brutality is coming back in the form of terrorism. It doesn't make it right, but for the president to say that, look at Russia, they didn't go into Iraq with us, and yet militants attacked them, so no one is safe. It isn't that we went in that'll cause us being attacked. Talk about apples and oranges and a misread of the situation. I'm assuming he doesn't believe this, that it's just crap they put in a speech. I don't know for sure.
Over the years, these extremists have used a litany of excuses for violence. Israeli presence on the West Bank.
That's true. That's the excuse. Just like Israelis used not having a country as an excuse for violence leading up to 1948.
Or the U.S. military presence in Saudi Arabia. Or the defeat of the Taliban. Or the Crusades of 1,000 years ago.
Well, out of all of those, I'm not sure who's using the Crusades. In fact, I haven't even heard Al-Qaeda claim that the defeat of the Taliban is what's got them so upset. They did say, meaning Osama bin Laden said in his 1996 fatwa against the U.S., that it was American troops in Saudi Arabia in the 90s that were the reason that he wanted the jihad against the United States. And the argument for that is pretty straightforward. He argued that you've got a situation where American troops stayed after the 1991 Gulf War. You know, keep in mind that there was no plan originally to keep troops permanently in Saudi Arabia. But we ended up with 12 semi-permanent bases and a lot of troops there to protect the Saudi oil fields. And he argued that, look, infidels on the soil where the two holiest shrines of Islam are, in Mecca and Medina, are unacceptable. Now, just because he says that doesn't mean we would get out. But what I will say is that if you know that that's what's upsetting them, you know that there is something you can do about it. Okay? Bush is saying that one excuse is as good as another. That if it wasn't, he says a litany of excuses, if it wasn't Israel in the West Bank or us in Saudi Arabia, it'd be something else. Well, maybe. But it's entirely possible that this is under our control. And this is what gets back to personal responsibility. Because if we are claiming that it's not under our control, that is, that these maniacs are doing this, and they're just doing it, we don't know why, and it's nothing to do with us, then we're saying that they're in control of the situation, that there was nothing we could have done that would have changed the situation. Well, that's starting from a position of saying we are powerless. And that it's all over there. That's no way to go through life. Personal responsibility is saying that you're in control and that there's always something you can do to alter a situation. Now, it doesn't mean that you're 100% responsible for the other person's behavior. What it says is there are things that we can do to alter a situation. And as soon as you say, no, that one's out of our control, then you're not taking personal responsibility. And I mean at a fundamental level. You know, a lot of people don't mention personal responsibility till something's gone wrong and you want somebody to blame. No, personal responsibility is a looking forward thing where you say, what can I do to impact my life, or in the case of a country, what can I do to impact how people receive us? And the only time to look back is not to blame, but to say, there's a lesson I can learn here. What could I have done differently that might have produced a different result? And so what I hear, whenever I hear this trotted out, and Tony Blair's been claiming it recently too, he's claiming that the attacks on the London subways have nothing to do with Britain going into Iraq. As though Britain going into Iraq, if it did, somehow that would undermine the policy. No, you have to be adult about this. If it was the right thing to do for Britain to go into Iraq, then you say, so they bombed us. There's a few people that took offense and bombed us because of that. That's the price we pay, but we did the right thing. But instead, he had to say, they don't have anything to do with each other. Just as Bush is saying that us being in the Middle East with 150,000 troops, it's not pissing anybody off. You know, or us being in Saudi Arabia in the 90s, that's not really what upset Osama bin Laden. Well, that's what he says. Now, it may be that he'd have been radical and found some other cause, like just plain old capitalism, to be against. But personal responsibility says that we should look at this as this situation was under our control. There was something we could have done differently that would have produced a different reaction from Osama bin Laden. Now, you may be wrong about that. In the end, he might have done the exact same thing. But if you start with the assumption that there was nothing you can do, that is the opposite of responsibility. It's saying someone else is in control of what happens to me. I'm not in control. And I don't live my life that way. I live my life like I'm in control of everything that happens. Is it true? Not literally, but then I can take action. I can learn from the past and learn from situations. And instead of just blaming somebody and say, oh, that person was an idiot, you know, that had that interaction with me, I can stop and say, well, wait a minute. That person left really upset with me and dissatisfied. What was there I could have done differently? Now, it doesn't mean I would have automatically chosen to do it differently. Right? I might have still said, no, this was too important to me. I wouldn't have changed that. But at least it gives you a chance to take control. Anyway, I don't know that there's anything else I have to say about Bush's speech today. I guess I'll wrap up with the general approach here, and that is that this was he's done two things this week, a press conference to shore up the support on the far right, the base, for his nominee to the Supreme Court, which is meeting a lot of resistance, and then focusing on Iraq in advance of the Iraqi vote on the Constitution serves him a bit because there's a series of speeches by the administration planned for this next few weeks, because he wants to keep America solidly behind what he's trying to do. And frankly, I'm with him. We cannot walk out now. I wouldn't have walked in, but once you're in, you have to stay. I mean, we'd have the same thing from John Kerry. He'd have to stay too. He might have been smarter about doing a couple of things, but there's no way you can just pull out, and I don't think any president would have. Well, I think maybe Howard Dean might have. I don't know. That's why we didn't nominate him. But he's basically trying to shore up American support for the war. In part, it needs shoring up because he'd never explained to us that it's going to be several hundred billion dollars and it's going to be a couple thousand lives and it's going to be 5 to 10 years before we're out of there. He basically said, trust me on this one. This is a cakewalk. He never said cakewalk. It was Ken Edelman or one of his supporters of the war that said cakewalk. But you get my point. When we come back, I'm going to move on to right-wing talk show hosts, one of my favorite topics.